Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, speaking of being wise, I was watching Jeopardy this week on Tuesday. Anyone else watching Jeopardy on Tuesday? Final Jeopardy category, Old Testament. Yes. All right. The clue? According to the book of Job, this man's or this person's name means accuser, and that was his role in God's court. Well, we just had a good Bible study on Job with Pastor Buescher. Great Bible study. Everyone should know. The answer? No, it's not Satan. This is Jeopardy. Who is Satan? Who is Satan? Who is? Very good, though. You got it. Very good. Who is Satan? Now for a final Jeopardy question or answer or clue from our text today. This prophet of the Old Testament preached against the exploiting of the poor, especially to the leaders or the shepherds of Israel, and against misleading the people of God into false idols. I'm not done yet. He also preached the solution is that God sent a shepherd born in Bethlehem who would shepherd God's people. Answer? Who is Micah? Who is Micah? Very good. Who is Micah? Well, Micah actually is kind of a Jeopardy question name because his name means who is like God. He's a great Old Testament prophet. He lived at the same time as Isaiah. That's before the exile, before falling to Assyria, when Israel went into Assyria. He's the author of our Old Testament reading today, Micah 6, chapter 6, 1 through 8, which we read. Well, what does chapter 6, 1 through 8 teach, and what does it mean for us today, here now? Well, first, it teaches us that God invites his people into a conversation with him, and it's a very important conversation. It's not a conversation about how the grandkids are doing. It's not a question of whether you like this color or that color. God knows these things. It isn't a question or conversation about what foods you like. Rather, it's a conversation about something much more important. God wants to know from this conversation, why are not the people of God walking humbly with the Lord? That's what he wants to hear. And he calls his people to arise and give their complaint. And then he's going to have a complaint too, and he wants to have it out. Let's have a conversation. Let's hear it. And why are they not showing mercy? Just like God showed mercy. And he reminds them, didn't I long ago take you up out of Egypt? I redeemed you. You were suffering. You were in bondage to Pharaoh, O people of Israel. And what did I do? I brought you out of Egypt. I sent you Moses. I did a miraculous thing, the Exodus, to bring you out. I showed you mercy. And yet for the poor and the sick, you show no mercy. God has a complaint, and he's letting the people know his complaint. They were turning the other way, showing no mercy. And so God says, O my people, God says in the text, what have I done to you? Have I wearied you? Answer me, he asks. Converse with me. Let's talk this over. This issue is not just going to go away. You can't just ignore the Lord. Well, you could say, that's nice, Pastor. That's really good and all. That was 2,700 years ago, before the exile, before Jesus came. Long, long time ago. So what? So God said, let's have a conversation, people. And the people probably gave their complaint, and maybe God had his complaint, and they all talked. End of story, right? Conversation done. Well, it might be good to ask a really important question. Has things really changed? From 2,700 years ago, has the problem of poverty gone away in our world? Has the problem of people showing mercy just totally gone away? People now, does everybody show mercy? Does everybody, as the text says, does everybody do justice? Does everybody love kindness now? Does everybody walk humbly with the Lord now? I think if we're all honest, I think our answer would be no. We all don't do justly. We all don't love kindness do loving acts of kindness, maybe only when it's convenient. There's lots of things in the world that are unjust that we do and other people do. We're all sinners. Even people within the church, we sin. We don't do justly. We don't love acts of kindness except when it's convenient. We don't even try sometimes to solve the problems of world hunger because we say, well, nobody can fix that problem. Why should I even try? Or for other people who have suffering and needs, we say, well, we'll let somebody else do that. Don't we? We don't do justice. We don't love loving kindness. Not perfectly. We're sinners. But secondly, in our text, an important thing it teaches us, to not despair, but to remember. In verse 5, it says, O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what happened to Shittim to Gigal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. Remember it. That's the key that God offers. He says to remember what God has done, the saving acts of old. Remember those things. Don't forget what God has done and what He is like. He saved you before. Will He not save you again? That's the question. And then for us, having remembered that God is gracious and He saves, then what? Now how do we live? What do we do? This text, what we do. How are we to live now? Now that we remember that God is gracious and He saved us long ago, how are we going to live now? Or as one author put it, saved by grace, now what? How will we walk is the question. Well, one way for us to walk today is to walk alone, by ourselves. And we might have this in our thinking if we do that. See, God is gracious and He loves, and He's very gracious, so now I'm going to do whatever it is I want to do. Do justice? Well, nah, God saves. Love kindness? Help the poor and needy? Nah, God saves. He'll forgive. Walk humbly with God? What for? God saves. Have an abortion? Sex before marriage? Homosexuality? No big deal. God saves. That's what a lot of people think, right? Dear friends, this is what the scriptures call licentiousness. And it's wrong. God has something to say. Don't presume upon God's grace. Just because you know He's gracious, don't presume upon it and do whatever you want. He wants us to walk in a certain way. And that's not by ourselves, but to walk humbly with the Lord. Now, we should never presume upon God's grace, and instead we should walk in the ways of the Lord. And that's to say this, see, God does save. He is gracious. So what in heaven's name can I do? I have nothing to fear by seeking to reform my life and do better, or help reform the world so that others aren't in poverty and poor and in need. I can help my neighbor, that they may know that God is good and that He saves and that He relieves suffering and that He acts in real time and space by giving us the ultimate gift, which is His Son, mercy incarnate, you might say, and gives us a glimpse through His resurrection of paradise restored, that in the image of God, in Christ Jesus, is the humanity and wholeness that God intended from the very beginning. And that God is restoring the world and all of its problems and all of its pain and all of its suffering. God is restoring it in the image of His Son. God is reshaping the world. The same God who worked to save Egypt long ago, all the Israelites in Egypt, that same God is the same God who talks to His people in Micah's day, telling them to remember, is the same God who Micah prophesied would be born in Bethlehem, is the same God that sent His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, to redeem us from sin and death and our self-centered ways. Remember who you are. Remember what God has done. And remember where we and all of history are headed because of Jesus. And that, dear friends, makes the last part of our text a bunch of Jeopardy questions that we can answer in the negative. Here in the last verses of the text, verse 6 onward, it says, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Answer, what is no? For God provides the offering for sin for us." We don't have to bring offerings and things to please God. God has sent an offering to earth that we would be pleasing to him. You now come freely by faith to this and receive the benefits of God by faith. The next verse, verse 7 says, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil?" Answer, what is no? These sacrifices in the temple were shadows of the things to come. You can't please God with 10,000 rams. You can't please God with 10,000 rivers of oil. He's pleased with his son. And through his son, he sees you as a pleasing person to God. Someone he deigned to save because he is gracious and merciful to you. Verse 8, he says, "He has told you, O man, what is good. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression?" Answer, what is, good heavens, no. Have you read the story of Isaac? How Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, and God stopped Abraham and said, "Here's a ram in the thicket. Don't sacrifice your son. Sacrifice the ram instead." And that was a foreshadow of what God would do later in sending us his own son, his own firstborn, Jesus, to die for us. Don't sacrifice your children. In Israel, in their day, in Micah's day, some of them did sacrifice children, thinking that this would please God. And God's answer, good heavens, no, don't sacrifice your children. I will sacrifice my child for you. That's the only child sacrifice there will ever have to be. One man for the sins of many. We don't need to do the same thing. We simply need faith to believe it and a tongue to rejoice in it. And hands that come to the table today and mouths that come and receive the benefits and taste and see that the Lord is good and that his steadfast love endures forever. And prompted by faith in God's grace, we therefore do justice, and we do love loving kindness, and therefore we are prompted to walk humbly with our Lord, repenting our sins, and seeing what little things we can do in this world to make a little difference, as little Christ in this world. Help the hungry? Maybe a little bit. Yeah, we can. Can we help our neighbor in need in big ways? Maybe as God the Spirit leads us, we might be able to do a lot. We walk humbly with our Lord, never tire from doing good, but to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with our Lord. Not giving ourselves credit for whatever good we're able to do, but to give God all the credit. For he is good, and he prepared all the good works that we would walk in them. God came and walked in our shoes, that we may be able to walk in his. In summary today, may we ever talk with God. He wants us to converse with him. May we remember his saving acts. And may we appreciate the invitation that he gives for us to walk humbly with the Lord. Finally, just a little note. The point of Bible study and the hearing the preached word is not so you can become better Bible trivia players, but that you may become wise into salvation that is revealed through faith in Christ Jesus. May you have that faith today that our Lord is good and gracious and merciful to you in his Son, Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, is the wisdom of the world, the folly of the cross, for all who believe, the power of salvation for all. May that God bless and be with you always. Amen.